As a raider scavenging a derelict world, you settle into an underground settlement. But now, you must return to the surface, where Ark machines roam. If you're brave enough, who knows what you might find? Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game. Buy now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. PEGI 16.
I called you bald multiple times.
Yeah.
Across the last 2 or 3 months, I have been noting the baldness.
Yeah. You're absolutely oiling that guy something silly.
You don't actually need a dip with popcorn chicken either. The flavour is inherently in the crumb.
Yeah, I can't wait to get home. I have a couple of Stellars, man.
Hello and welcome back to the Cream Podcast, the Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast, with myself, Will, Edwin to my right, and Benjamin.
Hello.
Behind the camera over there. Now we start every single one of these podcasts by asking ourselves, do cars rule or ruin everything around us this week? Edwin, would you like to kick us off?
It is uneventful. So I'm going to call it a rule. Nothing's happened, but at the same time, I haven't bought a car. I still haven't bought a daily.
Mm.
So I'm quite annoyed and upset. Ben has been saying he's
worried about you.
Yeah.
Because you're not yourself.
It feels wrong.
You're not you and you're hungry.
Literally that. So, but we'll call it a rule. Nothing's happened. I'm sorry. There's nothing to... Actually, that's not true. So sorry.
Lies.
The Evo. I sold the Evo.
Oh, yeah.
So the Evo, I finally got working. We put a video out. Obviously, I said on the podcast to loads of people, don't message me beforehand. I'm not selling it to you beforehand, and then sold it beforehand. So some people were salty. I sold it to my friend before the video kind of even went live. Shout out Will. Not this one. Different one. He said, you know what? I actually really want that. So thankfully for me, for my bank balance, he's bought that car. So I'm going to get it MOT'd for him, and then he'll drive it through the winter, which is interesting. So there might not be an Evo left.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've picked an old Japanese car for a winter beater.
But I have been allowed the fact that I can buy it back, which is something I've been genuinely, that's the thing I was most upset about.
Edwin Klinkenberg is pleased to announce buyback clause in Evo 1's contract.
So I want that car back and to do it properly and do big power at some point. So yeah, rule. Sad, genuinely sad, but rule.
Fair. I'd probably say rule as well, but again, there's not much. Although actually, first cars, we have started on that recently.
Oh, yeah. We talked about it at Retro Power.
We're still
quite sorry, but also it was funny.
It was great. But we just started working on the Fiesta today and we test fit the wheel, which is just down here. If you can't see it and you're listening, there's a comp motive MO wheel here, which is far too big and far too wide for a car with 70 horsepower, but they look the nuts.
Shout out.
For the audio listeners, do you want me to just describe it?
Oh, yeah, please.
Imagine
okay. A
wheel.
Yeah.
A bit wider than usual.
Okay. In a world.
Silver.
How many spokes you got?
Six. Just confirming. Six.
Yep.
Didn't want to. Not going to trust you.
I just say no. Sure. It's called an MO6.
For man. Oh, six.
That's the one. Also, just a quick shout out. Not sponsored. We paid for these wheels, but Compromotive, best wheel brand on earth.
It was very nice when I sent the email and I said about TDC and they're like, oh yeah, I've heard of you guys. Please.
Also, please. Did you say, oh yeah, Edwin's bought a t-shirt from us at some point?
Yes. Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Come on.
Come on, man. But Compromotive make really cool like rally style wheels. They fit on a lot of like Evos and Cosworths and that kind of ilk of automobile. And these are really cool, really nice concave, nice little bit of dish. They can look really, really cool in the Fiesta. So that's one reason to rule. Tomorrow, going to SBR to hopefully start on, well, I won't be. Have a look at the clutch being started on the Glado, which is very, very cool. I cannot wait to get that back. I may get the Megane back.
Who knows?
Who knows at some point? It may return. I forget that thing exists. And then I still have a conundrum and I don't quite know how to solve it between the CL500 and the Range Rover.
Yeah, I just like you've just gone for both.
I'm letting time do it. That isn't how you're meant to do it because the Range Rover is getting closer to an MOT in December, but also the CL is in January. So I might just get to a point where none of them have an MOT.
So you have to buy another?
Yeah, and I'm just in the Glado every
day. Welcome to the layer cake shop.
It will probably be the Range Rover going, but I need to sort a few bits on it. It's one of those where I don't want to sell it as it is. I need to fix some bits, but yeah.
Yeah.
But overall, rule. Benjamin.
Increasingly more common Ben ruin.
It's a classic. You just knew it was going to happen.
Well, it hadn't been when I bought the ST1000, but it has been for a few weeks now.
So how long ago did you buy the ST1000?
The date today.
Did you buy? I haven't seen it.
You've bought an S2000?
The date today is, right as we're filming, this, the 10th of November. So I've had that car for 1 month and 6 days.
Okay, and you've driven it for how many days?
One. I haven't had my car back yet because it's been delay after delay on parts and crusty Japanese cars. So
you're up to your eyes in crusty jugglers.
No, I actually am. That's it. Yeah, so I'm waiting for that back. Now, this week is the week.
Now, I think you said that last week,
Yes.
We can only hope.
It's a fault of no one. It's literally just the fact that it's Japanese and old. We're cutting off drop links. We're heating up bolts.
Mate, you don't want to do that.
Out.
You want to put them on.
Yeah. So new ones are going in. Bushes and all kinds of stuff. I'm sure everyone is fed up with that car, but I would like it. So hopefully this week.
The thing I keep thinking though is because we still have more fettling to do with that car, yeah. Is that I don't want you to get it back and be like, it's done, and then you have to do some more work on it. But you will still, it will at least be drivable. That was a real.
I don't know what else there is to do to it. What is that? What, like?
No, it's in like just getting the fitment checked.
Yeah, make sure
that it doesn't rubbing, so that you can, you know, beat the eggs out of it.
That's the one. Yeah.
Whisk those guys.
And I almost last week didn't have a daily as well.
I'm glad to say I've been looking forward to getting onto this one. Because behind the scenes,
this one's
been going off.
No. Because so originally, when we were going to go to Retro Power, we thought it was just going to be the three of us and Callum. And then thankfully, right at the end, as we were about to start the podcast, Nat, Callum's brother, who also runs Retro Power, was like, oh no, I'm around. I can do it if you
I got
want.
Benched.
So Ben got benched. But much to Ben's happiness, because perhaps 20 minutes to, no, call it an hour beforehand, we went to leave the main Retro Power unit and go to their side unit. Firstly, we discovered well-drawn penises all over our cars, which was
only yours, not mine.
No, you were parked down the back.
But I don't think they knew about your car.
Yeah, I think they.
Everybody's car's been on the channel. My car's been on the channel.
Ooh, okay.
I was literally on the channel the week before. But...
was it?
Yeah, sorry, I forgot you didn't watch that channel.
Well, we'll get on to that in a bit as well.
No, but, what are you talking about?
It's because we were parked by the front door, and apparently they said, yeah, no, they if the guys like you, you will get penises drawn on your car.
Yeah.
So I had them. I didn't actually know, but they were all over my number plate. Ben had it all over his rear window.
Mm.
So Ben was
some statements as well on there.
Yeah, nice.
I was more confused because I didn't know this. These guys obviously knew us. So I had no idea.
No, we wouldn't do that.
Oh, you didn't?
I had no idea it was going to happen.
I just thought it was a bit interesting.
Ben wasn't happy.
I wasn't unhappy. I'm up for a bit of banter.
Did you
here,
wash
but I was just baffled.
Did you wash it off immediately?
I'm up for a cock as much as the next
one. Yeah, but because mine had some statements written on the back alongside the drawings.
I didn't know about Edwin's ones, and then I followed Edwin, and my headlights illuminated his number plate, and it also did a couple of penises as well.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
And then straddling it like a TV logo.
We had it here, the E36, and there was obviously one they'd drawn the back window, but the way that it had been drawn, the rain had just... there's like drops of rain all around it, and it shaped out the drawing.
It was a ghost peanut. Yeah. It was quite interesting.
Quite cool.
But anyway, an aside, because of that fact, actually quite helpful from the guys at Retro Power, because you started looking at the back of your car, and you happened to lean down and see your rear tyres, Ben.
Mm.
And what sort of condition were they in?
Yeah, if they were a person.
Oh.
They'd be me these days.
Would it be Vin Diesel or The Rock?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Would it be smooth?
They'd be, yeah.
I've actually never seen cords poking out of Vin Diesel's head though. So
no,
had a couple of hairs.
Now
yeah, the Ronaldo haircut.
I want to preface this by saying that, is this worse? I don't know. That I did know the tires were getting low,
because
and it was on my list of things to change. But the thing is that the two things that didn't link up in my brain were the fact that needing to do your tires as a person that does a normal amount of mileage is fine. You need to do your tires in a week or so. For me, driving the amount of mileage that we're driving for work. It goes quicker.
If only it could have been spotted earlier.
Also, if only there was a YouTube channel that we ran that we could, you know, work on cars.
Yeah, we have access to things like tyre. I mean, we have...
Who's that? What are they called?
Is it a tyre fitting machine?
Oh, that's it. Yeah, and then there's also these... there's really cool guys. They're called Tyre Streets. They're like sending out... Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So you just got in contact with them and said, hi guys, can we
what
get
I did cars? Was I just drove for the week. No, and do you know what? I'm going to say something right now.
Ben paid for those tyres. He's like, I will use every millimetre.
I paid for the tyres.
No, I want to actually say something, because I'm an idiot, but I'm not a complete... I know it is a mistake, and I'll happily admit that it's a mistake. And it was stupid, and it gave me a lot of anxiety on driving back.
Ben was...
And I totally admit that was a mistake. But I just put things off because that's who I am.
Ben was in absolute panic stations because we were 100 odd miles away from home.
Yeah, the worst place, because okay, fine. If I'm at the unit, like if we're here, okay, fine. We have, worst case, we have other cars that possibly could be used. There's a train station that takes me, you know, it takes me back towards my house, all of that. We're in like Leicester. I couldn't be further from her. Like, that's the farthest we've gone in the last month for work. And I was like, great.
Ben was, he was quite quiet. I think you went outside to do it for a phone call. He was quiet. We weren't really doing anything, and he just went like, "Oh, do you think I might have a blowout?" I was like, I don't think you'll have a blowout.
Yeah. But that is not what you said.
But I said, admittedly, your chances of a blowout have increased significantly.
I don't know why.
It's more so than normal driving.
Also, Ben got quite shirty with us the next day. He was like, "I don't need to be told. You're not my parents.
I do.
You don't need to
because
lecture
the thing,
me.
The
on
thing
these
is ways. Right. Is that." Believe it or not, I'm an adult.
No way.
And as much as I know, it comes from a place of that it's because you guys care and you don't want me to be an idiot and die. I understand that. But you have a habit of informing me of things I know. And it doesn't help when I'm sitting there going, yeah, I'm an idiot and I'm really beating myself up. And you go, you know what, Ben? You are an idiot. And that is stupid. What are you achieving here?
Let's get this out of the open. The frustration from our point is that that wasn't the first time we'd ever said it.
On that tires? Yes, it was.
Nah, Ben. Ben.
When?
Oh my God. I called you bald multiple times.
Yeah. I call you bald, but for a different reason.
Across the last 2 or 3 months, I have been noting the baldness.
Yeah. 2 or 3 months?
I would say at least
what,
the last
what
month.
What are you taking before this podcast?
At least the last month.
At least a month ago. I do remember about a month ago.
You pulled up there once and I was like,
that was Monday of last week.
That was months ago.
No, that was Monday.
It was a week ago.
It was Monday.
Your tyres are getting bald. I'll give it another week.
I don't bring the camera gear home with me because it needs to be here most of the time.
Too much weight of the rear wheels.
Yeah, very funny.
So okay, in case the camera gear doesn't make it either.
But because last week we had a lot of filming away to be doing, I had the camera gear with me. So I pulled the car, reversed the car up to these doors. And as I was, and this was before you guys got here in the morning. And as I was walking out, I noticed that on one side particularly, it was wearing. Nah. So I said to Will when he came in, that looks very bald.
I do remember about a month ago, Will making a joke about it. It wasn't said in serious.
It wasn't said, you need
to do this. It was said, you know, haha, bald.
I think I remember saying, it's getting bald quicker than you'd like. So it's worth, you must have an issue. Because for those who don't know, if you have bald, tyres go bald.
Yeah.
Tyres go bald, things wear down.
Hey,
but if they're wearing quicker than they should wear,
yeah,
then you may have an issue in the car. And if you fit new tyres, you then will just chew those tyres up as well. And it's a big guy.
Just like humans, over time, things go bald.
And if your alignment's out, you go bald quicker.
Bald quicker.
I need to align the car, yeah, that's fair.
So overall, though, you've got what happened was you ordered some new tyres. We got from the same place as the Kapatos, which is where the next infraction came in. Ben never watched the E55 episode with the Kapatos because we joked.
I said Kapatos to Ben as a joke, and he went, "What?" And we looked at Ben.
I said,
as if,
cool Dave Edwards to get a Kapatos. And he said, "What's a Kapatos?"
Okay. I mean, there may be listeners going, "I don't know what a Kapatos is," but that's fine. Because you are listeners, you can pick and choose what you watch and listen to. That's fine. But Benjamin here is the editor. He is the head of all things video.
That is true.
And he decided, because it's beneath him, the 2DC video, he's like, it's disgusting videos on that second channel. I won't watch it.
My job is to do that, yes. But I didn't watch the E55 video, so anyone I haven't seen... Because I was on holiday when it went out.
Oh, I forgot you can't do that. Yeah, I forgot.
I didn't watch
if you're away when the video goes out. It's like if a movie comes out and you're on holiday, you can never watch that.
You are aware that because it's my job, I watch the videos out of necessity, right? Because it's my job.
Wow.
So you wouldn't watch our videos? No,
that's all right.
I don't go home in the evening, get into bed, get all cozy and put you guys on the TV. I hear enough of you all day. Actually, you know, last night I did watch an old video. But I typically won't if
Were you in it?
No, it was the Race Across London. I watched that. Okay. I think it's a good video. It still haunts me. What was I saying? Sorry, no, I was away. That was a week I was away and not on the podcast. And that video was quite last minute, let's admit it. It went out. It got filmed and went out when I was away. And I didn't watch the draft edit because I was away. And then when it went out, I just never ran to watch it. Nah, I didn't watch that on the plane. Because I have no internet.
But anyway, we went to the same place and we got not a Kapatos, but a...
Pace
Impero.
He told us that the paces, they'll do. So on they went.
And the meats.
And you know, it
they
went
do
well.
Look chunky.
You've got.
Ben opted not for the professional fitting service. He went for the self-fitting service by us here. Ben, how did that go?
it was, I don't actually know how much it was to have it fitted, but I said to the guys, I was like, oh, I just had to like suddenly buy tires and, you know, got the ST1000 to pay for. I was like, do you know what? Let's just fit the unit.
I said
within seconds of fitting them, I was like, I will pay whatever it takes at this point to not do this.
I said to you, Ben, I said, we are collecting these tires from a tire shop who fit tires every day. And you went, nah, that's fine.
Now, my point was fair.
We'll fit them.
My point was that it would take time out of our day, which at the time I thought, yes, I know, fair. And it ended up taking up a lot more time out of our day to just fit it ourselves. So,
because it's a big tire. You got the biggest tires of out of any of us.
Yeah.
Those three. You start 3-1-5s? 3-1-5.
Crazy.
What is it? 35, 20 or whatever?
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous size of rear wheel.
It is. It's unnecessary.
Yeah, silly.
So anyway, that was a fun ruin.
Overall, it's a ruin for the week.
Yeah, sorry, I was very low-winded.
Next week will be better for you, Ben. You know, I see better shores on the horizon.
I tell you.
I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Next week, you'll have an S2000 and you'll still have rare tires.
Well, debatable.
When I get the S2000 back, I can then, because the X5 does need bits doing to it. Because I can then get to work without having to get the train. It will be easier now, to do that.
So also, that was good. A little bit of therapy thrown in there.
There we go.
A little bit of,
yeah. Sometimes you just got to talk
out. There was a comment recently. I can't remember what, one of the most last two or three podcasts, someone said, that first 20 minutes was so nice. Because it was, I don't actually remember what we were talking about.
We were all positive and happy.
We were all just being very positive and nice. And now that I think was a nice return to form. I actually think that was relatively tame.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think that was.
But it was a little bit Benjamin biased. But that's fine. That's why this podcast
is here. That movie. Before we get on with the rest of the podcast, we do thankfully have another sponsor, and it is our mate at Febby Bilstein. Thank you as always, guys. And we have been using Febby for a very long time, before the podcast even. And we are massively appreciative of their help. They have great parts, great reliability, and we use a lot of them, don't we?
Oh, it is amazing. When we go on the parts finder, whenever we get a new car, which inevitably needs lots of parts, their CL500 that I got recently, I was comforted. But I looked on the Febby parts finder, and there are three boxes up there full of bits. They do everything.
Yeah.
And it's all like OEM stuff as well. So the CL500, they are the proper AMG spec drilled discs. There's no, it's all proper OEM stuff. It was the same for the Megane. We're using a load of Febby and Blueprint parts as well on both the Fiesta and on the Golf. We're up to our eyes.
Also, cool to see, we took the brakes apart on the Fiesta today. They had used Blueprint parts as the pads already.
Yeah, we see it.
That's cool. It's cool seeing the parts now out there after a while. So if you didn't know, Febby is kind of more of the German brands, but they do all of them. And then Blueprint is more of your Asian-specific brands on Ben's S2000. We use lots of Blueprint parts on that. All of them OE matching quality parts to the original part. Also, not only that, they've now got turbochargers on there. That's how in-depth their parts are getting. So we are very, very excited to try their new turbos at some point soon.
Quite jealous when we saw Rory with a box brand spanking new turbocharger.
Yeah.
But I keep looking at cars that have those turbos available. I'm like, let me buy.
We will be in contact very soon for a turbo for something. But thank you very much for sponsoring this episode of the Cream Podcast. Check them out in the description. Check out the parts finder. See what parts they have for your car.
Shall we move on to things and stuff?
Necks and dotes.
There's lots of news on our list this week.
Anecdote. Yes, there is many news. Now, I put one in here, and this was actually a little while ago, and I don't know much about it. NSX Resto Mod.
I might have
one. Anyone know anything?
I've pulled the photos up. I can tell you nothing more.
It interested me because it is an NSX Resto Mod.
Okay, that's interesting. And then what are they doing with it?
I think what they're going to do is they're going
like to restore
Resto Mod an NSX.
And modify it.
Yes.
But so we're talking about a first generation NSX, but it's by JAS, which is supposedly something to do with Pininfarina.
Is it? Yes! Now it's all coming back.
I don't know. Yes. I didn't put the story in.
Yeah, so that's that.
I don't have any information. Okay, well, how about I'm going to look it up.
I would love to blame that one on Ben, but...
You know what? That was a bit Ben. Here we go. JAS Motorsport. Derivative of the 1990s generation Honda NSX and will offer enthusiasts and collectors a modern definition of the grand touring concept that underpins the NSX's DNA. High performance, perfectly balanced, and safe on the road, yet equally at home on the track. We've got no kind of mentions of any actual...
Because I want to know about engine. Like, it says
the engine will be an original NSX-inspired, naturally aspirated V6.
But I think it's mated
to a 6-speed manual transmission.
It's the auto one. Yeah. Wasn't it a 4-speed or something?
I think something horrible. But it says an original NSX inspired naturally aspirated V6.
Ah, see, now that's what I'm interested in, because it's that's the thing with the the resto mod stuff is it? Like, what are you going to do with the engine? Like, there was that one with the 6R4 thing they did. And they put an Audi V6 in it. And
yeah.
It felt not kind of right, but it's not really right. But I'm interested to see more about that. I mean, it's probably going to be £1 billion. And
so whatever, supposedly
it kind of looks like it's at least going to look like
it's going to be. It's going to look like an NSX designed by Pininfarina, but dressed in a full carbon fiber body. Ooh. That was very interesting.
So that's going to be.
It's going to be bread.
It's going to be like 300 or 400K. Sure.
Yeah,
it's going to be hundreds of thousands of pounds.
Yeah,
but the wheels.
Yeah, no,
the wheels don't look great right now. Ben, as you know, for the audio listeners, you're always the
describe.
Yeah.
Okay. Now. Everyone listening, hope you're doing well.
Jeez.
Please imagine a Honda NSX, a first generation one. Now, imagine that was modern on some pretty tough looking wheels. Imagine.
No, but the body, the car's original. It's an old car still.
Is it?
Yeah, that's the old shape of NSX.
Yeah, it looks like the old car. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, so it looks like the old one. And then add a couple of LEDs at the front. Perhaps add a little...
I meant the wheels. Describe.
Oh,
explain the wheels. Oh, this is like last week when I said explain what was on screen. You went, James Bond's hair flails gently in the wind.
The wheels, they're kind of McLaren-esque, I would say.
Yes,
bit of Lamborghini,
Ferrari,
Lamborghini Revuelto sort of kind of feeling.
Imagine, okay, so five spokes that go halfway out, then off of each of those five spokes, two V-shaped spokes
they split
the
out.
Edge.
Yeah.
Quite. A Huracan, like an early Huracan wheel.
Or a Revuelto, I think, if they've got those.
So that, I mean, that is, again, that's some of the things resto mods aren't getting right. If I was a resto mod company, just get like T37s.
Well, also, there are so many companies, I know, like Rims Carnated in the UK, and then there's a company in America called Augment Wheels that will take your OEM original design and either make it a bit more deep or make it a size up with a bit more dish. But they will keep the OEM style and it looks incredible.
Can't think of the name right now. But Imran,
Wheels?
At Evolve.
Oh,
has it 1066?
That's the one.
1671?
Something.
It's like it's a number, I believe. But anyway, he if you don't know him, he does lots of BMW stuff, but he's made lots of BMW, like a modern version or interpretation of those wheels.
660.
Six. I knew there was numbers in there somewhere. But some of those are really, really cool. But some of them, they can be a little bit too big, but some of them are really, really quite cool. But that's where I think those resto mod companies should do it, because they suddenly go, right, here's the car, here's the engine, it's all perfect. And they go, right, let's stick the worst wheels possible on.
Let's go Brumtown massive wheels on it. Let's go
But there'll be magnesium or something. So something like £8,000 or something ridiculous. But yeah, so that I'm quite excited for. But again, it's another one of those things that's going to cost £1 million. So yeah, oh well. Now, the next one...
Bro was disappointed. Bro thought he was going to break out the check.
Was it too cheap for you, Will?
Yeah, no. Silly, isn't it? You know, Lamborghini ownership and all that. Ben, you've put in here chicken nuggets, really bringing the tone down.
Chicken nuggets, guys.
I've been staring at this message for weeks.
Thinking this. Chicken nuggets are the ultimate car food.
Oh, no, don't know, no.
We had this conversation quite a while ago now where we discussed what was the best food to eat in a car. Now, as we have discovered, you're not meant to eat anything while you're driving, but chicken nuggets are the perfect thing.
No.
Now imagine this. Stop, both of you.
Alan Partridge has entered our podcast.
It's chops. Chicken. Chops.
Monday is mince day. Chicken nuggets are the best in-car food, and I'll tell you why. Because... they're quite dry and not greasy.
Wrong.
Stop speaking for a second. I must describe my point and then you may have your defense.
Please, after you.
Your sauce pots can sit in your cup holders and not...
What if you don't have cup holders?
Or if you're in a Lamborghini Gallardo?
Well, then, you know, you must get... Well, you can have dry chicken nuggets.
No, you can't. That's wrong.
I actually don't mind a dry chicken nugget sometimes.
But here's... All right, Trump.
Depends on the temperature.
Okay. Now, here's my question to you. Where are you getting... chicken nuggets that are not oiling your fingers.
McDonald's.
No, they are oiling your fingers.
No, I'll tell you why.
They're a little bit crumbly as well. They're not that clean to me.
No. You know, I said the story last week.
You're telling me it's
easy and crisp. We were working on my mate Sam's Integra.
Yes.
We went to Honda to get bits and we didn't have them. On the way back, we got a McDonald's because we were hungry boys. We needed, you know, to fuel ourselves up to work on cars. He decided, I'm not actually that hungry. I might get myself just some chicken nuggets.
Sure.
And as we're driving back, I just watched him. And it was the perfect food to eat in the car.
What about, like, why are selects different?
Because selects are more crumbly than chicken nuggets.
Selects are more dry than chicken nuggets. Chicken nuggets are inherently greasy.
Well, here comes my next point.
Okay.
Because a chicken nugget can be a one bite item. Therefore, you're not taking your eyes off the road, off the steering wheel for too long. And a select, that's what we're talking.
But that's not my point.
We're talking 2 to 3 bites, maybe 4 on a big one.
My point is the grease factor. Because that if you're touching your steering wheel, you're absolutely oiling that guy something silly.
But it's not that bad on McDonald's chicken nuggets.
Yeah, it is.
Nah, because they're not that bad.
I think they're better than something like a KFC.
Of course.
But
my point is there is still
a grease.
Take it over, compared to the humble sandwich. Yeah. There's no grease coming from that.
No, because a sandwich is how you end up with filling in your lap.
No, but then you just don't be a 7-year-old who's just throwing their food around the car.
No, chicken nuggets are the way forward.
No, they fit there are cleaner things.
In the center console, they fit really well as well. That's the other bit. A lolly. Now, a lolly's dangerous.
Don't even
if you crash.
Don't even need your hands.
If you crash. Okay. It's interesting. If you crash, the lolly's going like, it's dangerous. Airbag hitting you in the face, a lolly
and a nugget can't do any
but
damage.
What I'm saying is, a lolly's going to live in your mouth the whole time. A chicken nugget is a quick little pit stop to the center console.
What if you choke on it?
Well, you might, but we might choke on anything at that point. You shouldn't eat in the car, is what we're learning.
Yeah. Ben's summary of the best food to eat in the car ends up with don't eat in the car.
What name's something better than chicken nuggets?
Popcorn chicken.
Popcorn chicken is the same thing.
Equal amounts it's of greasy. Grease, but it comes in a pot that you can hold. You don't actually need a dip with popcorn chicken either. The flavour is inherently in the crumb.
But the McDonald's 20 chicken nugget thing comes in either a square or a rectangle.
Well, how many?
Chicken nuggets enough for a long journey.
Big box though.
You can you can tell so easily that we live on the road and we spend our time driving around doing things because we know every menu item. The truckers will know. Truckers will message.
Burgers are out of the question, I reckon.
Burgers, you can't
burgers
be.
Not,
burgers, fair.
Burgers, and, not unless... Hot dogs, really. Hogwarts? Hot dogs are bad enough.
Drive there.
Hot dogs are bad enough at a table, let alone, you know, driving.
But what's on your dog?
Just a sausage. Easy.
Sorry, have you ever raw-dogged a sausage
in the car? I haven't personally, but now I've just thought of it. How easy would
like
that
be? Like them glizzies that come in water. You could get those.
What does that mean?
No, they're like the what are they called? Jars of sausage.
Okay,
Frankfurters.
Oh, you got like a nuclear bunkers type sausage.
Yeah, because those you can put in the cup holder, whack one out.
Okay. Just pour them in. Just pour them into the cup holder.
And then when you get thirsty after your sausages, you've got all the nice water in the jug to drink after.
That is a deep cut if anybody knows that reference.
Nah. I don't believe there are many foods that I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Well, chicken nuggets.
I think there are lots of foods that sit like on a plane.
I think we have to let the comments decide on this one. Is a chicken nugget allowable in the car? For me, it's not because you're greasing that steering wheel.
It's the dip for me.
The dip can sit in so many places in your car. Also, chicken nugget box, the shape of it. Now, in my X5, I know this from research, it depends on your cup holders, other cup holders are available.
Pull the cup holder out.
The cup holder is, it's two cup holders in a rectangle shape. Opening that rectangle shape opening is basically perfect for McDonald's 20 chicken nugget.
Would you ever?
So you sit in there and they're just there.
Would
also,
you ever?
Greedy bastard! 20 chicken nuggets. Hey, you're
I got
a
2-hour commute. That's
yeah, it doesn't matter. That's a lot of nuggets.
Yeah, but it's the best.
Is it not called a share box for a reason?
Cool guys in the car, are you. Oh, what's a chicken nugget? You look around.
No, you don't.
Why are you on your way home? Are you taking home with you?
You pick it up on the way home.
I agree. You could share the chicken nuggets.
I believe if you are just buying nuggets, 20 is the only number to go for. If it's a side, you can pick one.
Oh, of course, not getting like a burger as well on the side. Yeah. That is big.
Right, we're getting off topic.
No, nuggets. Would you put them loose in the cup holder?
Surely not.
Possibly a center console moment, like where you lift the armrest up.
That is filled to the brim. Yeah. Please, mate, I put a fresh batch in there last week. Grab one.
You say to someone, do you want a chicken nugget? And they look around the car looking for chicken nuggets.
Where?
Only to find them full up in your armrest.
Glove box open, it's just full of chicken nuggets.
In your cooled armrest. It's like, just keep them cool in there. All right, yeah, that was a disgrace. Supra is done, you say, Ben.
Yes.
You claim.
So, the current generation Toyota Supra, which actually has been around for a while now.
It has.
Because I remember, Edwin, you had one as a press car in 2021?
I've had two. I had a long-term one, which was an early one, a grey one, and then I had a manual one.
A blue one. Yes,
a manual one.
I had a manual blue one, yeah.
Not for very long, like a couple of weeks, right? A
couple of weeks, yeah, about a month.
I remember it now. Did you bring it to Silverstone?
Yes, I did. Now I remember. I did indeed.
Cool. Yeah. So, that is now ending production next year. March of next year.
Did they ever make? They always said, we're going to make one that has the BMW M engine. Did they ever do that?
Don't think so. They made some with slightly spicier B58s.
But that's it.
But still B58.
Yeah.
Which is, it's still a... It's
fine.
It's a potent engine.
And now, in a car. A thing that people will be happy about, it's the end, it's the conclusion of the partnership between BMW and Toyota for it. So
really?
No more, because if people don't know, the current Supra got... It's possibly unnecessary, but it's a lot of sort of negativity because the current generation Z4 shares the underpinnings with the Supra.
So yes.
Supra being such a legendary car, when they bought the new one and it's just a BMW Z4 underneath, people just felt a bit upset.
It felt like the wrong way round. Not the wrong way round, but it was like, I didn't really understand the partnership. It's not like like the Audi Lamborghini thing where it's like, okay, your reliability is really poor.
You're taking
so
each other.
You need someone to come in and fix that for you. It's kind of like they're both kind of equally as good at things as each other. So they, yeah. I think it was for the engine and a few other bits, but yeah.
Which I think is still an incredibly, not smart decision, but it is.
Oh, it's the perfect one. Yeah.
It is the modern 2J.
Yeah.
Like the B58 is that engine.
It's just always disappointing that it's not
a Toyota.
It's not their engine.
Absolutely.
It's also, I think, part of it as well. It's not lazy, but I can see where people would think that maybe it is a bit, because if you look at the interior, the steering wheel is the same.
Oh no,
the center screen is the same.
There's so many
things that are shared. It's not like it's the chassis and the engine are the same. I think that's forgivable, but it's the fact that you go inside it and it looks the same.
You would think, on my other point, that would be the good side of it. Because the thing people have always said about a Japanese car is that things like the interior is really cheap. So you would think throwing a load of BMW stuff in there, you'd go, well, hey, this interior is now way better because there's proper quality stuff. But I've also got Japanese build quality and I've got a really good engine. So on paper, it's perfect, but there is something afoot.
The when I had one, the interior was the worst part. It was just being in a 3 Series.
Hmm.
And not that it needed to be a luxury car, but just take some semblance of Lexus with it.
Mm.
Just get something that's different. It was even the fact that like the bong chimes were BMW.
Blue.
Everything. There was even, I think they might have updated it because it wasn't on the manual one. We had like a really early production, early one. And the distance, what do you call it? The cruise control radar thing. The car in front of you was a 3 Series on the screen. And then later on, it was a Camry.
Yeah.
But I like them a lot. I genuinely, that car would do almost like your M5, but like a baby version of your M5. If you want to do a slide, the car will do a slide.
Yeah.
At any junction, at any time, whenever you want to do it, it will do a skid. And I would have an auto one.
Is that
the manual one was not that great.
Yours was that eight. That, I love it. The manual you had was also the straight six.
Was also a straight six one. But the auto one was just a ZF8 speed.
Mm.
And that's what I would have. I have a video somewhere on my thing. It was us out on a road in the middle of nowhere. And I pulled up alongside Will, started doing a burnout, and then saw lights.
Allegedly,
in Mexico.
Supposedly.
Started doing a pull away and looked at my rearview mirror and there were lights coming up quite fast. And I was like, oh, that's it. I'm going to prison.
We're done.
It turns out it was an RS6 that had seen
something happening.
And started, was like, oh, this is cool. And meanwhile, I was running for my life because I was quite scared.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Thank you, Ben.
I just don't feel anything towards it. I don't know, the way it looks makes me feel nothing, and it's the Supra name. No one is disappointed that the GT86 doesn't have a Toyota engine.
No,
but that's because there's no preconception of the name.
Plus,
it's like, oh, this is a new thing, I don't care. Well, if you called that the something else, if you called it a different model, that was this is a new Toyota sports car. But it's when you give it the Supra name,
it's probably
conception amongst people that don't actually matter because they're not the ones buying
but
I just think the Supra name didn't really not suit it, but it just wasn't necessary.
But oh well, mate, goodbye.
Goodbye. Hopefully you'll be $5,000 soon and you'll end up on TDC.
I will have one.
That's a big power one of those.
Oh, it's
hell yeah. Edwin, you've been here. Flash to thank.
This is my gripe of the week. When you're on a rural road, that's where we are, so lots of that here, you may encounter someone that requires one of you to move over.
Mm.
You both can't drive past on the same road. Fine, absolutely no worries. Now, in the light, in the day, that is simply, if you're holding your steering wheel, a little two-finger, just a couple, no, not two-finger, sorry, not two-finger salute. Yeah, all right, dickhead.
thanks, mate.
No, it's just a little, thanks, just a little, hiya, thanks, that's lovely, that's a lovely. You just give them a little hello.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. That's great. Why is it the moment light gets dark that people in their 2025 Nut McGee, whatever car it is,
laser beam,
decide, oh, you've let me through. Please, allow me to flashbang your retinas every single time. Don't thank me. I don't need a thank.
Okay.
If you're going to flash me.
All right.
Because I need to then pull over and recover and get LASIK eye surgery.
God damn.
It's mental.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah. It's even worse if you're in something slightly lower or slightly older. You are, because every other modern car is quite big now. So you are at absolute, like,
you're getting laser beamed.
Yeah, you're done, basically.
Every single time. It annoys me. I go from, no worries, to...
Yeah, just seeing stars and then just crashing into a hedge straight away.
It's so annoying. If you own a new car and someone lets you through, do not flash them, because I don't want to be blinded.
Yeah, unless you can see them with a chameleon tint or something.
Just shoot them straight through that window.
On the thanking thing, I thought about this the other day. I need to word this correctly so people might understand. You know when there's just a car on the other side of the road, so technically it's your right of way, and someone
yes.
lets you go, and you thank them.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have an urge to thank people who've stopped at a red light, and I don't, because yes. it's madness.
Because
why would you? But why is that any different?
Yeah, you know, true.
They've stopped. They've only stopped because they've been told to be stopped.
They could have.
It's the same with the right of way. Yes, there isn't a red light telling them to do it,
but
the
yeah.
rules say you need to stop because it's their right of way. Why have I thanked you?
Yeah, I have no reason to.
It's like zebra crossings. Why am I thanking you for letting me cross? You have to let me cross.
But at the same time, you go out and get coffee somewhere.
Yeah.
It's their job. They're being paid to do it. But at the end, you go, thank you very much.
That's your job, mate. Why am I thanking you?
Except that's not the
but
same
why
thing.
Why am I not thanking you? Like, not a normal red light, but if there are temporary lights and I've gone through, you know, it's like a single lane.
Yeah.
I get an urge, like a last minute,
oh, yeah.
to give them
it's the, you know, the place on the way to Evolution Works from here?
Yeah.
Where it's that bridge.
No, the listeners don't.
I'm telling you guys.
Oh, right.
It's like a bridge over a river, maybe?
Yes.
Something. And,
it's a railway.
Quai.
A railway, yeah. And it goes from, it is a single track thing. So you have traffic lights on each side and it lets one side through and each time. I always want to thank people yeah. going through there. I go, thanks so much.
Do you know what it is? Because if it's late enough, we've discussed this before, we'd run it.
No, not yeah. that. I wouldn't run that.
No, because you can't see what's coming. But if there was something where you could see what's coming, you just run it.
Allegedly.
But why are we not just thanking everyone?
But just on the motorway, everyone's going the other way. Just
well, yeah. I mean, someone lets you in. I give people the hand at night. I don't care if they can't see me.
I do the same thing,
but it's for me.
I'm 100% on board with that.
Yeah, they drove off and went. Why has he not said thank
they
you?
They probably can
but
see
to me.
Have lights.
But I believe
to me, no, because you can't.
You can't sometimes.
I say it. I thank someone. And then I carry on driving and I go, could they see me?
No, yeah.
And then I look into the person coming the other way and I go, there's absolutely
you got
no
to full beam them so you can see them thanking you.
That's what they're doing, flashing to the tank. They're just doing it for the split second to see if your hand's up. So they dazzle you and you go,
you got to put the interior light on and go.
But I do the same thing. And yeah. it's, but I believe, even though I know that they don't, I believe that they're doing the same thing. That if I do something nice, that they have thanked me. Yeah.
I just go,
can't see.
They saw that.
I thank people who on the motorway, you know, if you're in the outside lane trying to overtake and they're not necessarily hogging it, but they're, you know, they're overtaking and they see you're behind them. So the second they can have space, they move over. This is funny. They move over out of the way. And I then,
do you thank them?
As I go past, I just put my hand up.
Oh,
not
see,
at them. Not like morning, like out of the window.
Yeah.
I do like just a thank you kind of like half the side.
I'm a little hazard quick. I'm a quick little beep.
Oh, I can do a little hazard.
That I like.
Wait, so I missed that tile
so someone,
scenario.
So let's say you're doing 70 miles an hour.
Okay.
You're in the outside lane.
Allegedly.
No, correctly.
Sorry.
Because everyone else is allegedly doing 50 miles an hour on the in the inside middle. And you're coming up on someone. And then you're also,
they're in our lane.
They're in your lane.
Right.
And do they see you coming?
Yep.
And they move out your way?
No, they don't deserve a thanks.
No, this is big. Not to belittle what you're saying. Let me say, it's not like they're blocking the lane and they move out the way. I mean, as in, they're already overtaking, quite rightly, at 70. Because they're going like 70 past someone, it's a bit slower. And then the second that they're past them, they get out of the way of you. Like,
why should I thank them?
Because they're clearly going, you know what?
Will 2 minutes ago, I just want to thank people.
It's just nice because they've noticed you.
No, motorway is different. Motorway is,
you can always
is,
tell.
Motorway is north of the wall.
No.
It is the Wild West out there. I won't be thanking
anybody. But what I'm trying to do, positive reinforcement. I'm trying to teach an AI so that, you know, when they go, okay, so if I moved out
like
the way.
Like training a dog.
Exactly. Yeah. I moved out into the middle lane and they said, thank you for it.
I got a little treat.
I should stay in the middle or the left lane.
Not the middle.
And then I fall back and I pit maneuver them straight into the central reservation.
I prefer to give them silence. And they go, that was weird. And then they'll carry on about
their day. You're rocking with a little sort of no news is good news type thing?
Yeah. You slow down, pull alongside them and just stare at them. You don't do anything.
I have given that to middle lane people, which I'm noticing more of. I don't want to get into that again because I think we could do that every single week.
Mm.
But on the NEC, going to the NEC at the weekend, Christ.
Just middle?
Just Christ. Like the least busy a motorway could be, and just people trundling along in both lanes, in the fast lane and the middle lane, whatever number lane you want to call it, lane nine. And they're just laser beam focused on ahead of them. No mirrors, no nothing.
They are
just
doing
people
it.
In the moment, enjoying their life,
no phones, just living in the moment.
They aren't doing it to personally attack.
I think they have to be stupid. They have to be stupid, though. How thick do you have to be? It's been the worst one, right? I will allow it temporarily if you are driving a lot and there's no one else around and you have no way. You might go, oh sod it, oh bum, I'm in the middle lane,
crumbs.
I better move over. But if you've been undertaken, overtaken, flashed, given the wanker sign, given two fingers, given everything, and you still go, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah, possibly.
Why is everyone abusing me? What I came out today.
What did I do?
I come here for a drive.
I come here for a shootout.
Yeah, I would kill them. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
they're in the bomb, like the exploding club.
Yeah.
They're the ones I'd have like.
Gatling gum.
Like explosive cat's eyes.
Oh, that's nice.
That would take the tires out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would likely take you out as well.
I don't care.
Nah.
I don't care.
It's worth it.
No, it wouldn't catch me.
It's absolutely.
Ben, you've put in here US TVR dealership.
Yeah, yes, this is quite a funny one, actually.
Okay. I'm just pulling it up. Yeah, this is quite a funny one.
Gavin Bristow, co-founder of TVR Garage, plans to open a 15,000 square foot TVR showroom in Las Vegas. They will specialize in importing and selling classic TVRs, helping keep the spirit of the brand alive. Don't know where that last part.
I'm upset about this. Stop stealing our TVRs.
Stealing our jobs.
I get it, because it's these things are weird and cool and I've seen them on TV and Top Gear and I'd like to have one. But man, they don't.
Just let us have it.
But they're also not useful there. Like, what are you going to do? They don't cruise well. They're built for weird little back roads. They're not, unless you live in like New England or maybe like Washington somewhere up in the mountains, you're not going to have fun with them.
You've got a Corvette.
Yeah.
Use your Corvette. We don't get Corvette. Yeah,
paint your Corvette a chameleon color.
It's the Viper or Corvette, but for those who want to be different.
Of course, you get a Viper or a Corvette.
No, yeah, but they are different.
That is what I'd
have a TV, because you could pull up at Cars and Coffee and people go, yo, what's that?
What's this thing?
That's a goddamn C6 Corvette.
Oh man, there's a 35 minute wait between pressing the button and the door opening.
Are there in America, are there British car people that are like our American car people?
Oh, there's got to be.
Oh, no, yeah. Where
they just want to be.
They just like British stuff, yeah.
If you pull up like an MG in.
Cup of tea in the morning.
Iowa.
Okay.
I'm probably going to judge you.
Yep.
Okay.
The joke we make about American car owners here,
yes,
is do they have the same thing where is there Dave who's actually from massive two shits but I'm British through and through, mate.
I don't think there's as much that. I think they're neat. I think they're cool, man.
Yeah, they wake up, watch the one show, get in the MG and go, British cars, eh?
Yeah, I just beat my wife. I got a Zafira. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I can't wait to get home. I have a couple of Stellars, man.
There must be a few of them, but I bet it's not as popular as British American car people. But if you're out there, let us know.
But
you're weird.
But price is going to be going.
Oh, please.
But they haven't yet. And they've been available for import for a little while now.
Yeah, it's a weird thing with America where some things they just decide to leave alone, and some things just get absolutely massacred.
So I thought that with Evo 6s. I was convinced. I was like, I didn't need to get an Evo 6 or an Evo 5. As soon as they hit US market, we're done for. They're just the same.
No, because I think probably because they've gone for Japan first. Mm. But then other stuff, like they're importing right-hand drive UK E30s and E36s. What are you doing? You had them.
I assume it'll be a thing where once it does start to dry up everywhere, like once the supply starts to become hard to come by, that is when prices will shoot up because you won't be able to get hold of them. Things like Evo 6s and whatever, they're not 10 a penny, but
you can still
go on eBay today and find 10, 15 probably that of varying condition.
I still think Clio's clear one hit twos when we get there.
But the thing is, it's going to be so few people. Peter, shout out Peter, you're listening, of E60 M5 variety.
He wanted a 172.
He wanted a 172. But like we explained, they're not great to drive in the UK. They'll be horrible to drive out there.
Oh, in the US, yeah.
They'll just sit at 70 in a Clio is not a great experience.
I imagine they'd be more expensive there, but mainly to do with shipping and whatever.
Because they don't get anything like that. I think they will want.
No, yeah, absolutely. But it's more that. But like, how can you use it there? Yeah. Unless you're a collector, that's when I think
a V6.
You would look at it and go, "Oh, they're all going to be worth it." A 10,000 mile one might be worth it to a collector in the US because they didn't get it, but they're not going to want to buy your 95,000 mile track car.
That has a crunch in third.
Yeah, Benjamin.
140,000 miles.
Yeah, it's quite a few miles.
But yeah, I think it's weird. The special stuff, the really special stuff, the Clio V6s, that sort of stuff will go up. But TVRs are on that weird level of, do they go or do they not? I'm hoping not, because I would still very much love to own a Tuscan or a Tamora or a T350 or Cigaris, but brackets, that's never going to happen.
There was a cool TVR stand at the NEC Classic Car Show and they had that Speed 12 on there, which I wasn't even aware existed. I have a model car, I'll try and find a picture of it, of a TVR Speed 12, a Hot Wheels one in purple. And I always used to look at that model and then look at the Speed 12s that were in games and the photos I saw. And I was like, "What? Why is this one so different?" But the one that was at the NEC at the weekend was exactly the same.
That's like the preface, the model I have. Like the prototype of what the Speed 12 became, and then it became more like the Tuscan.
But that just looks incredible. I think there's a few people that are trying to... There's some people that have the engine blueprints or information, so they are making a complete replica or a recreation of the engine. But just a ridiculous thing. Ridiculous thing. But seeing that, I had no idea it existed.
Yeah,
outside of my 1-18 model.
Please correct me if I'm wrong, but that was going to be like the homologated race car, and then the road car, which is what they were going to sell, was the more Cerbera looking.
Yeah, thing. Strange, because that looks like a road car, and the other one looks like a race car.
Yeah.
But yeah, really cool. TVR. Also, what happened to the
Griffith? Yeah, I think, classic TVR, changes hands. We're going to bring a new car up, changes hands.
I was less interested in that because of the engine it had.
Yeah, I don't know.
It felt like, because it's not a TVR going, "Here, we made this, it's bad, and it will die, but nonetheless, we made it." Ben, another one from you here. New plate record.
Yes, a plate sold.
Ooh. As in like a cutlery and plates?
Yeah,
or...
a China plate.
Wow.
Nice pattern on it. Yeah, lovely. Sold for lots of money. I'm just going to pull that up once again.
What is the plate? Can we guess?
Yeah, you can guess, actually.
L1.
Let me tell you what it's sold for in terms of bread.
Yes?
£926,000.
Huh? Is that before or after fees?
Inclusive of fees.
Okay, so it was like probably £800,000.
Less than a million.
It was
£800,000. Why does that not feel like a record?
Because
a UK record.
Because... the guy who owns Khan has always been trying to sell F1 for $5 or $10 million and saying it is the most expensive, but it never sold.
But I feel like a number plate would have, obviously they haven't. But I'm assuming other plates around the world have sold for more than that.
Yeah, especially. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sorry, yes. Yeah,
so what was it? I'm going to say it's, UK plate. Yeah. It's not A1 because I think is still on the Brunei car.
Two digit with a one in it.
I'm going to say
it's a two digit plate, yeah.
But not with
I think
one.
It's.
I'm not telling you. You have to guess.
A1.
It's, you can't say it's a two digit plate and then I'll tell you one of the numbers.
I'm gonna say it's 1A because I think there is also that way around.
It was a 6N.
Okay,
1F, and that sold for $800,000. And then the other ones that were in that auction was EB1 for 150,
nice.
GTR1 for 60, WTF1 for 80, and F1.
Wow.
F4 TEE.
Farty.
Oh, F4. I saw someone posting about
F4 that. F4 RTE.
Is it fatty?
F4T is F40. F4T.
I thought you said
not fatty then.
But no, I read it exactly the same. Is it fate? Is it fatty? But I saw it. Someone saying is this the perfect F40 plate? I was like,
no.
Well, the fact that most people look at it and go.
What? So it's what? F4TTY?
F4TEE. No.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's a 250-pound plate.
Yeah.
But it sold for how much?
$12,000.
Like that was probably made available on a DVLA for like £8.60.
Yeah. But yeah, so Arms Sotheby sold it for all in £926,000.
That is a ridiculous amount of number.
Did you see? I saw money, JK sold as well.
Is in
JK, yeah. I think one maybe.
Wow.
But everyone was saying, who bought that?
Do you know $300,000? The other thing I always find funny is that okay, you go out, you spend 900 grand on a plate. Mm. You're still spending 20 quid on eBay to go and buy the actual plate.
Yeah, you still got to buy
Look, not, you, you don't get a premium plate, if you see what I mean. You can get, okay, you can go get a 4D or you can go to, you know, like number one plates that we use, but it's still a £20 piece of plastic. Yeah.
And you also, you still don't own it.
No, like, yeah.
Technically.
DVLA.
If you start spacing it illegally, which I guess you won't do with one F, it's quite difficult.
I prefer F1.
Yeah, better. I might space it like four spaces in the middle or really close together. It just looks like F or E. And then the police go, we're going to take that away.
Yeah.
No, no, please. Yoink. Please. It just comes up on the DVLA again for like 30 quid. That's it on the record. No more number plates.
That was the story.
I still think that is that's just a dumb amount.
I wouldn't do that myself.
For a number plate, yeah.
I couldn't. Even if I was multi-billionaire 9,000, I don't think there's a number plate out there
I
could care about enough.
Drive with no plates and just take the fine if I was that rich.
Okay.
Fair.
Rather than buying a plate.
So you'd just be a criminal.
Allegedly.
Criminals have standards.
Gordon Murray's RM Sotheby's SS chassis number one, which is
so
for auction.
When we were at Monterey Car Week, which I don't know if we've we were doing. Did
There's
we
no
that?
Way we were.
We went this year to Monterey Car Week.
I don't remember.
During the week at the event we couldn't get into.
Well, we saw this one there, yeah.
Yeah, the event we just like imagined. they released this, which is called the Gordon Murray S1 LM.
We can take a lot
completely
of
new
for this.
Car. Completely
which
unique.
Is basically, let's be honest, it's a McLaren F1. Is it a GTR?
I don't see it. I'll be honest, I don't see it.
What is it based on?
It's an L. Well, they were supposed to be an LM.
That's the one, yeah. So basically, it looks like a McLaren F1 LM. With the wing. Basically, it's a modernized version, exactly how Gordon Murray wants it. And it was announced at the time that there were five of them, all to one person. But it has appeared that the RM Sotheby's will be auctioning off one of them.
He couldn't stretch to it.
Number one.
The one guy
first one.
Chassis one, yeah.
So, he bought it. He bought all five and went, actually, had a bit of a tough month. Can I get four instead?
Guidance is north of 20 mil.
That's crazy. Now, when you looked into it, I don't know why I'm asking you this question because I know you don't know this answer, but do you know if it's going to be a bidding or if it's a sealed bid?
I assume
there we go.
Sealed.
Ben's back to the phone. That's what I would assume so too, because then it's so there was one for the McLaren F1 while we were out there, which is not a 20 mil, 25. Mm. It's just everyone put a number in an envelope.
I think
an envelope.
Oh, sorry. No.
Envelope. And then hand it in. Whoever has the highest number wins.
What's interesting about it is that it is so obviously 20 mil guidance price.
Yep.
Is, you know, a lot of money for it. And you know, considering McLaren F1 is over 20 mil for one now these days, maybe it's worth the money, who knows? But do you remember when we were at Monterey Car Week at the RM Sotheby's auction, the Ferrari something?
The SP3.
SP3 for 20 something million.
Well, I think that was because other Daytonas were sold since for considerably less.
Hold on a second. This is what I'm about to say.
Yeah, so tailor made.
There is apparently, particularly in the US, when it's a charity auction, there is a big tax write off.
Yes, there is.
So because of that, that car is worth, 5-6 million maybe, but it went for 26 mil because of the tax write off. Now, this is guidance price at 20 mil. So there's no reason why this couldn't go for a ridiculous amount of money.
Oh, yeah.
Because someone might go, all right, cool, I'm going to write off 30 mil of.
Also, there's not really possibly another opportunity to buy that.
No.
If one person owns the other four, then like the likelihood that then you're never going to get the opportunity to get another one. I'm assuming, does it look like that? Because they're not all spec.
I think it might be an allocation because the thing that they showed in Monterey was like a prototype or like a proof of concept model. Because the whole thing was that they weren't sure yet whether they were going to make them lights or pop-ups or LEDs or something yet. Mm. So I assume it might be the same. It's like you can have the one allocation. Because I'd be annoyed about that. If it is that I've got this chance to buy the one-off car and they're like, nah, I can't choose it.
Nah, oh yeah, sorry, you spec'd it pink.
But then if I'm spending, you know, I don't know how much they cost. Right? But didn't they say it was a rumor about 11 million or 10 million
something
for
like
each? So if you're paying basically double for it, you're effectively just paying for an allocation.
But you're getting access to something that all of the hype is built around. It's if you're that rich, it's worth that money.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's true.
Because the other thing
is it's also number one.
Yeah.
Well, which always tends to be worth.
If you look at the LMs, there are five McLaren F1 LMs plus one. Three of them are in Brunei. One of them is now moved across, but still kind of part of the collection. You don't have an opportunity to buy an F1 LM. What's that worth? Hmm. At any one time, there will be a McLaren F1 for sale somewhere in the world.
Yeah.
Someone will be willing to sell it. That isn't an option on an LM. Mm. You might be a billionaire and want one. And the people that have gone from right now are going, no, you're not having it.
Mm.
This might be the same thing where someone's like, oh, this is my only opportunity to ever have one. I will pay you 100.
Because then that person's going to look at it thinking, even if I pay 30 mil for this, this is number one.
Yeah.
Which where it will always be number one. And they will know that in the future, someone's going to come to them and say,
I need it.
I want that car. I will give you £50 million.
The only issue is, though, is that it's going to, I get it, because if I was that rich, I probably would as well. It's going to just disappear and just go into storage.
Most likely.
It probably isn't ever going to be seen.
But I meant to say this the other day. Is it not interesting that over the past 10 years, there has been a, not even a resurgence, but like a collection of very rich people who have now decided to start driving the shit out of these cars?
Yeah, just using them.
Because like 10 years ago, yeah, you go to the Quail or something, it's people trailering their cars and they're putting them on a plinth and that's it. Whereas we were there, P1 GTR getting ragged around the road.
It's getting used.
A Valkyrie covered in diamonds. Mm. Like, people are, there are, granted, they're just rich people showing off. But they are using them.
At least they're being, because the important thing with those cars is that they are seen by
a younger generation.
By those of us who perhaps will either can't afford or will never afford those sorts of things. But it is still cool to be able to see them. So you're not just seeing that in a, because you just see it on a page or an Instagram video or whatever. It's like, whatever. But until you see it in person.
When we were driving behind that McLaren F1, that was, even for me, that was a life-changing moment to be like, that's one of those things that I've been obsessed with for years. It's cool. So as long as one of them gets driven around, So you know, TDC will put an offer in. We'll see, see what we get.
Yeah, if you want to let us drive it, we'll do a review. We'll do the first review. You know, also I would say we had a good hand in that car. We literally said when it was announced that he would be revealing a new car that is based on the 250 or sort of similar to the 250. We said, please make one that doesn't have the fan on and is more like an F1.
Gordon listens to the podcast.
And Gordon confirmed that he listens to the podcast.
He went, all right. Boys, I love it.
Gordon, I know you keep dodging those messages, mate, but
your email, something wrong with your email, I think. Yeah. I don't think you're getting them.
Yeah, gmurray@gmail.com. at gmurray.com.
At gmurray.
That may hit. You know what? That could actually be his email. Yeah. Next one on here, I put in here, people who drive with their mirrors folded in.
Okay.
And now Ben and I both put something in the chat, which was, I think, from our journey to Retro Power. So perhaps we both felt wronged on those journeys. Yeah. And mine was seeing someone driving along and they had just their passenger mirror folded in, which confused me more than having both of your mirrors folded in. Many modern cars will have electric folding mirrors.
Yep.
But most will unlock, when you unlock them, they unfold.
Yeah, they.
So how
they write themselves.
You folded those. You folded those mirrors in by choice at some point, whether when you locked it, maybe you street park it, I don't know.
Or someone else did. And they didn't notice until I got the motorway.
But that's what I'm trying to get. Like, someone got to the motorway.
I'm not. I've always had this rule. My driving instructor taught me this. If you see a
use
car
your
with your if you see a car with mirrors folded in, just don't get near it because that person is so unaware. If you've got that far and you haven't checked your mirrors once, you're going to do some crazy stuff.
That's a great point, mate. Yeah. That's a very good point.
Also, on the motorway as well.
In, they face you
on the motorway as well.
you look over and go, "Who's that? That's me."
let me just move over.
Hello, mate. It's just bizarre. It's like I can't. It's so obvious to me that I've sometimes had it where like a mirror's been folded in on more like a manual mirror where you think where you've had to pop it in yourself or something, and then you get in the car and go, oh,
oops,
oh, I better do that.
Yeah.
Oh, how have you got it? Normally, it's normally like an 87-year-old granddad who's absolutely. I mean, even if he had no mirrors, if he had no doors, he would be none the wiser.
He's on a Monospecio Testarossa for all he knows.
But still, I mean, are they legal? Do we need them?
Do we need these mirrors?
But that, it just baffled me and it angered me briefly, which it shouldn't do, but it does.
Yeah, you should just whenever that happens, go and get in their blind spot and just hide and just wait for them to make a move and go, oi, what are you doing?
Oi, idiot. Your mirror folded it or something. Yeah, it does actually, yeah. No, but that,
I like the idea that they go set off, no sit, and just go, wish I could do something about that, but oh well. Off we go.
Oh, if only there was a button that would unfold those.
Guess I'll just crash.
I can get it. If there is some form of fault with your car, but A, fix it. B, get out and go pull it out yourself.
Also, yeah, I bet even if you had a faulty electrical one, you could.
Ben found that quite funny.
I reckon you could pull it out like manually.
Yeah, you can. Absolutely, you can.
Dumb, stupid. If that's
nothing to add again on that one, Ben. Just silence in the corner.
I think mirrors folded in is a sign that you shouldn't be on the road.
I understand. Or possibly they're going for a top speed run.
seats when you see someone on the side. Yeah. It's like NASCAR. They're trying to keep, you that's know, what tilt it into the corner.
That's what made me clock onto it. I've seen it before, but when I saw one, have you done, it was a passenger side as well. It's like, are you stupid? Are you actually stupid?
It's a fair point.
You are
Gatling gun.
Victim of the gun. Again, you live by the gun, you die by it. I would shoot you straight off the road.
Jesus.
Anyway, Ben, on to your rant, because I feel quite strongly about this as well. If it's the same thing I'm
what
thinking
is it?
Of. It is people who report police in traffic.
Oh, my. Okay, so on the way to Retro Power, as these guys like to remind me, I was late.
Just a little bit late.
Yeah, which was interesting because I'm not typically late. To most shoots, but I was on this occasion a bit late and I felt bad.
Just a half day, wasn't it?
Yeah, okay, interesting. Okay. Well, don't often say anything to you guys when you're late, but fine.
Are you joking?
I don't. I will say, oh, half day is it's a joke. But you'll go, like, seriously, like you were late.
Absolutely not. We are also joking, Ben.
We pulled you aside and went, mate.
Look, I know this is getting ridiculous.
What happened back there? 9:36. That won't run.
Meanwhile, ask to Ben. Half day is it? Him? What? No, because I was.
You had a problem. You got all shirty with me. Went to Thruxton.
The Tasmanian devil for no reason.
You went to Thruxton last week. I got given so much abuse for being. I wasn't even late. I was there before you. But the cameras weren't set because these guys have become a bunch of divas over the last 6 months.
Don't even get me started. I do not want to get started on that rabbit hole.
Let's do it.
All right, fine. Let's go. Cool. Right. So we went to Thruxton last week, as you may have heard in the last podcast. And Edwin and I, we were late. Like you said, let us get our side of the story out. You wait.
Ben is literally like, he's
I can't wait for this.
The Golf had a radiator problem, which delayed proceedings.
Yes.
There's nothing, we can't do anything other than fix it.
Of course.
So Edwin had to fix the radiator, which set the day back. And we said that. We said to you early in the day, there is a delay, please wait.
And admittedly, you'd already left.
I'd already left. I'd turn around and go home.
Okay, how far away you got?
15 minutes from my house.
Okay. You said 10 when you were there, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Maybe I was being nice back then. Maybe I'm being honest now. Maybe I'm lying now.
So we continued through the day, and then the track day has a lunch break from like 12 to 1 or something. So we're like, no point getting there then. We'll get there in the afternoon at some point. It'll be fine. And we say to you, when we feel like the radiator is getting close, I said to you, we're almost there, blah, blah, blah. And then there was another delay. So I said, it's probably another half an hour. And I said, we will be there around 2:30 to 2:45. And then I messaged you and I said, it might be worth you getting there early, get the camera set up, and maybe go and get your B-roll. So when we get there, we can just set the cameras in the car and go on track.
Yeah. We should be there roughly 2:30 to 2:45. Could be a 1-0, but it might be worth you doing any of your B-roll stuff that doesn't require these cars before we get there. Benjamin Rogers replied at 1:31. Sounds good.
And we arrive at Thruxton. And where were you? Cozy, sitting in your heated seat.
Not true. I was actually at the back of my car.
You were stood at the back of the car.
With the tailgate open, with the cameras setting them up.
But I think you'd seen us coming and you thought...
Okay, now let me preface this. Okay. We often run our productions...
Someone pushed him on the swing.
We run our productions quite low... Like low team members. It's you two and then it's me.
Yes.
Right. And granted, it's my job.
The dream team, yeah.
Absolutely.
God, actually, nightmare team.
No, actually the dream team.
Yeah. Okay. So this is so my day goes like this, right? I get up nice and early. I go to
Thruxton. First time in the beginning.
Thruxton, I would cast your mind back to 1997.
I was born. Thruxton is actually
a racetrack.
It's not that far from me. In relative to where we normally go. Leicester's very far from me. Thruxton, we're an hour and 15. That's a nice commute for me.
Wow, way to dox yourself, Ben.
People now everyone knows.
Right now.
Triangulate the position.
Maybe. It's like an hour and 45 from my house.
It's 1 hour 43 from my
house. No, it's not that far from my house in relative to the rest of the country where we usually film, right? So
sure.
I was like, cool. We got to get there for originally, what, like 9:30, 10 o'clock. I go, cool, get my car. I'm loaded up. The cameras are, and this is the most thing that annoys me the most in the world, because when I get to a shoot, I've got these two divas walking out of their trailers going
brackets Mark IV Golf.
Yeah, why are the cameras not set up? Why is it? Bearing in mind, on this shoot, I'm setting it. We are running one main camera, 6 GoPros.
Yeah.
Okay. All of these have cards in them that are set. Everything's got to be set to the right settings. And then we run our cameras in this. I won't bore you with the details, but we have to put, I think, called an ND filter, which is like sunglasses for your camera. So
it's actually a great explanation.
So you get basically good motion blur. It looks quick on track. But I got to choose a certain strength of ND, which is very hard to do in the dark at my house the night before the shoot, because I can't guess how bright it's going to be outside. So I had to do that when we got there.
Now, there was Edwin did have a fantastic argument for that.
I'd already set the cameras up on the cards. Batteries charged, everything's good to go. All you need to do is get there, do the ND filters, tether the cameras to the car, and we can go. It's just me. These two don't offer to help. They sit in their cars on their phones going...
That's not the point.
That is complete. That is fabrication.
Okay. So I'm like, cool, I'm going to do that. It's all planned. Okay.
Oh, just brushed over that. Didn't want to carry on.
I'm not Arthroxing yet. I've left my house.
I've just woken up.
I'm then told last minute, the car is broken. I'm like, cool, this happens quite a lot because car content is just the most annoying thing to film because it all goes wrong all the time. So I go home. I'm like, cool, I'll get some editing done. That's great. Edit until like lunch. I have a little early lunch. I'm ready to go. Will goes.
Will you have a lunch?
I think I had a sausage roll for lunch.
Oh, lovely.
And a packet of Monster Munch.
No Greg's pizza.
No,
sorry, not this time.
On the way home. No, there's no Greg's near my house. Stalked myself again.
The person on the map. All right, zoom. No Greg's. Exclude the area. Yeah.
So I've gone home, right, which is fine. And I've gone in the house. I've done editing. I then get told the car will be fixed. Cool. So then I'm on the way and I get a text saying, we'll be there about that we've been delayed again. So I'm like, all right, cool. I can stop, get a little bottle of water. Okay. I can chill. And I can do that.
At where? Where's the exact location you stopped for?
Someone through.
And that's how far away from your house?
A distance.
And between Thruxton and you, like, where is that?
Somewhere. Yeah. Okay. And so I was just stop. I need to go for a little wee and I get some water.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, cool, did that. So I ended up being there at about 20 past.
This is a really roundabout way of telling this.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that I did slow down, but I got there about 10 minutes before you.
Oh, that's where the story starts.
Is it?
But
I'm saying that there's all this like build up of like being told I'm going to be here at this time. No, I'm going to be later.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
You've got to go home.
That's fair.
Right.
But we had set a very specific time and we were there in that time frame.
Okay, but then what do you want me to do? Because I can't tether my cameras to a car that doesn't exist.
Here was my favorite moment. And it was when we went and did our noise test, right?
Yeah.
And obviously the message I sent to you, I'm going to say like 90 minutes prior to that, was get your B-roll while we're not there. What do I see you doing over in the distance? Starting your B-roll.
But what do you want me to do? I have to set the cameras up. I think
the viewers
will speak.
They will understand the truth. Or they won't understand a clue what's going on.
I think they've got
on.
No idea what's... And it just sounds like bickering between wives and husbands.
I would say we're both in the wrong, but you more.
Essentially. the way it works
we're
is that...
We're equally in the wrong, but you're more equal.
These two have no
you
patience.
You like 75%.
These two have no patience for anything. They want a good video, but they don't want to, they don't necessarily want to wait around for it to be a good video. So instead what they do is they just moan at me.
That's not true.
And then make fun of me whilst I'm trying to set stuff up.
We were there.
You were sat in your car.
We got black flag for that.
I tried to get into the back of your car to put a camera in there and you didn't and your seat was broken, so I couldn't even get in and out.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, but you were sat in the seat that would move forward to be like, get
you
out.
You broke your seat, mate. Why'd you do that?
No, but then you got all shirty with me.
I didn't get shirty.
You did get shirty.
Do not use the word you shirty all, with me.
Or I will get shirty.
you guys have a bit more patience. Because I can't go any quicker. It's not my fault.
No, Ben, you don't need to tell me things I already know.
That's quite a good one. Yeah. It's the idea that for some reason I'm like purposely going slow to like spite you. And then this is the level of diva you've become now.
Here we go.
We finished the shoot. You bear in mind your work for the day, granted you did fix the car, was to drive cars round a track.
Hey, look, it's tough.
Okay,
it's
stop for a second. I'm running around trying to get shots of you coming past. I've set little cameras. I'm worried about all sorts of things. You guys are driving cars on a track going, oh, this is a great.
Now let me ask a question.
Hang on a second. Right?
You just said I'm running around getting shots. All the shots were from the same place.
They weren't.
They were on the pit wall.
I'd say we got
all
many
them.
Shots.
Not all of them. I showed you two shots out of the five laps you did.
Oh, okay. Where were you running on the track?
I went up high. I went, and what I'm saying is that then we finish, I take the cameras out of the cars, and we're stood around, and these go, right, cool, I'm going home. And just left. And I had to.
Should we comfort you? Would you like a massage? Would you like a grease down and a shampoo?
Yeah, but like if we're all like a gang, you should hang out.
Ben,
we'll wait.
I said, do you want to go to dinner? And you went, nah, I'm going to head off. That was your words.
I had stuff to tell you.
Oh, interesting. That's interesting.
Is that pre-bald tires or is that?
I guess it was happening.
Yeah. It's always in.
Unaware of sort of the situation.
It's always in motion.
Yeah. So it's probably just.
You know what? There may be some viewers that think we're in the wrong. There may be the
also, there's going to be a lot of viewers thinking, wow, they really hate each other. This is every day. Don't worry. This is this.
It comes from a place of something, but.
Yeah. this bickering happens all day, every day, but at the end of the day, we all love each other.
But how that started is people who report people police in traffic jams.
Wow. How
did we get there?
Can we get onto that?
That might have been a really long-winded story, actually, now I think about it. Anyway, I was on the way up to Retro Power the next day. Yeah, next day. Yeah. And it's quite a long journey. I was late.
Late,
and yeah. So, yeah, that's it, yeah.
That's there it was.
I got halfway there, and do you know what? I was in a great mood. I was like, I'm on the way up there. We're going to film.
The rears were really coming around nicely.
What's that noise back there?
Yeah, tough. And I got into like quite a lot of traffic because there had been, frankly, quite a bad crash.
Can I read the messages? It was, no, there's nothing bad. It's just, it's an illustration of your frustration, Ben. It says at 12, so we're meeting there at 1:30.
1:45.
1:30. Ben says, L traffic right now. So looking closer to 1:40-ish for me. That was at 12:05.
Yeah.
And at 12:20, this is an actual L. It's getting worse by the minute. It's now saying 1:55.
That was in millimetres of your tread in the back.
Well, that's generous.
Sorry, it was just a little... Because you were getting annoyed.
It was more because I didn't want to get shouted at when I got there for being late. And also,
he makes it hard to be...
This is actually meant
to be some like SS, like... Yeah, you must never be late.
Meanwhile,
we're going to shout at you and give you lashings.
Meanwhile, what happens? Turns up, half day is it? That's it.
Half day is it? Should we go and get lunch?
To be fair, you're usually quite good. On that occasion, it was more that I didn't want to
annoy Retro.
We're going
power.
To a business. Yeah. I don't want them. It makes us look bad if like your producer arrives.
Yeah,
late.
Fair.
Yeah, so with Cox on his window. Like,
well, no, they weren't there. They were actually at Retro Power. Not mom. So yeah, I'm in traffic, right? And I keep getting these notifications on my Google Maps just saying police report nearby. Police report nearby.
There's police around.
And do you know where the police were? At the crash site.
That's no way.
Reporting police is, I'd assume a lot of the time it's for speeding, a lot of the time to warn people.
A speed van is what I would be.
Yeah.
Or a speed van or a static car at the side of the
motorway. Yeah, just the police sat there who could come chase after you, whatever. Or, so you get a notification saying police there. Now, 90% of the time, it's not police in this country. If you don't know, if you're American or whatever, we have traffic officers who are in the same, it's still a similar model car and it has Battenberging, like the checkered side like we have.
Different color.
But it, rather than it being blue and orangey.
Blue and greeny yellow.
They're like blue and gray.
Or black. Yeah, whatever. So, but people think
not
they're police.
Not emergency services under any circumstances.
I don't
know. You wouldn't know.
They're on the side of the road and people report them as police. But, so you have that. But then why are people reporting? If you're in slow moving, basically standstill traffic, why are you reporting police that are there?
Well, of course,
police are there. I'm in traffic. I know the police are there.
But I wonder if it's like there's an accident or something. There's something happening.
Well, I know
there's
an accident because I'm in a 70 going one. So I know there's an accident.
Mate, you should get off the
you're
road.
You're in a one going 70.
Yeah.
I did a wrong report to Waze just to see what happened. And I got an email from them. Not like personally, but like it was an email or like a message on Waze. I said there was no more road.
Yeah. I'm aware of this because Will did that to me too. And I got an email saying...
No more road?
Yeah.
I said, road ends there. No more. No more road. And he went, are you sure about that? I was like, yeah.
Will and I were stuck in traffic on the M40 and he declared on my Waze that the M40 was gone. That someone's gotten rid of the M40. And I got an email saying, hi, we're just looking through your report now. Can you elaborate on what you meant by this?
What do you mean by that?
Great.
Now, I'm no expert. But I've never seen a road just disappear. So why is that a feature?
You never know.
Also, Waze then watching people flying over that missing section of road every day. God, they're jumping it.
I want to know if anyone, there has to be among the creamers, the first one to report. I mean, I feel for them because you may be caught, but if you are the first to report, there's very few times I've been past something that hasn't been reported.
I did it the other day.
You reported someone.
Just up
something.
Someone. There was somewhere around here and they had just put in a blocked road. It was, we call it the bad way, but it's not.
Yeah.
The long road. One. No, the non-wiggly road. Word.
Ooh.
The actual, sorry.
Okay.
Jonathan Ross on here right now. no, the dual carriageway. Anyway, doesn't matter. They had just put a sign in and it my ways was still like, yeah, man, go down there. So I clicked on it. I said, it's blocked. Road blocked. Said, highlight it. Put it on there. It said, cool, that's blocked. You should head down there. I was like, surely you're going to update. And it went, nah, you should. I know you said that it's blocked, but I really do think you should go there.
But road closed signs, I am always tempted to go and have a look at least. If it says road closed, because the amount of times I've seen road closed and what it actually means is a little side road off that road. I'm like, now, I almost went on a 20-minute detour because of your shitty sign. But I like to go and have a look. I might have to do a U-turn. That's fine.
Now,
or drive through the sign if it's not being worked on.
I'm going to admit something. The other night, this was like a week or two ago, I was in Didcot. Got a Yateley in there. Got Didcot.
Tapfield.
Taplow. there was a route, Waze was saying, head back to the motorway. Cool. Started driving towards it, said road up ahead's closed. It was like 11:30 at night. I was like, let me just have a look. Because it's 11:30. They're not going to be working on things.
You can't close a road at that time.
And I kept going, and it kept saying, mate, this road is closed. You really should not. And there was no one else on it. I was like, hey, come on, we'll have a look. And I got onto a, they were tearing up the road, and it was unpaved. It was just dirt. I said to my girlfriend, should we just carry on? She went, yeah, just have a look. And so we carried on onto this dirt, got to a junction that was completely being repaved. And there was just guys working on the road there who just all stopped and stared at me. And I just pointed like where I wanted to go across, and they went, fine, give me a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Drove across. It was fine. But they were quite clearly confused. They were like, there are so many signs. There's no way you couldn't have missed.
Doesn't make sense.
But again, they can't put more detail on a road closed sign. They can't put a paragraph that says road closed. Oh, by the way, it's not just this one. It's down there on the left.
Yeah. And if you do come down, you might not be able to turn around. So it's probably best you just
you're in a hedge after reading that. But it's the, they go road closed, and you go down the road. It's just not, is it? It's someone's driveway is closed or something, or that bridge is closed that no one goes over.
So we're saying TDC's top tip: don't listen to road closed signs.
Don't do that.
Don't worry about police.
Don't worry about that.
They're not there. All of the above.
Don't use highways patrol and go through red lights at night.
And don't ever use. Do always use a wing mirrors
and get out fast lane.
Shall we end on a want of the week?
Sure. Now I have one.
Oh, you do? You've already told me, so I've got it pulled up. Here's one I made earlier.
Now, I was trying to think of this man's number plate, not because I want to dox him, but because in case people know who he is, it was J9 something. By looking at your number plate, I would imagine you might be called Jack. Otherwise, no idea. But I saw a Golf R in traffic the other day on my way home from work. And normally I don't pay much attention to a Golf R because it's a Golf R. It's just meh. I think they're nice cars, but they're not that interesting. But there was a noise emitting coming from this Golf R. I was like, it's not four cylinder. It was deeper. I was thinking it's a VR6 or it's a 5-pot, but it was a 5-pot. So it's quite common that people take the RS3 engine and put it in the Golf R, because obviously it's VAG stuff. So
big sleeper style.
Everything is like Legos. So you can just swap it all over. But something ignited in me when I saw this Golf. But it was also because it wasn't like your usual Golf R, where it didn't have an F1 light at the back and a massive diffuser
and side splitter
and a chameleon tint. It was just nice. It wasn't, I would have a sort of, there's a darker blue, not that blue. I can't remember. It might be. It's like sort of like a lapis type blue.
Yeah.
But this one was like the crayon grey, like the Porsche colour, with ultra legeras. Sat a bit lower. Fitment was just stupendous. Really quite pleasant. But the five cylinder made that car. Just
that's a cool car, mate.
Infinitely more interesting than it is with. And then it did a little pull beside me, and I it had some sufficient turbo noise, and that. That got me Googling how much this, how
do I do this?
Because you can get a relatively cheap Golf R, and if you're just going to throw the engine away anyway,
then get an engine blown one on Copart.
Get a blown engine Golf R and a little five cylinder.
And we've been looking at this recently. Audi RSQ3s. So there are two different versions of the Audi five cylinder turbo: the TTRS, the RS3, that sort of stuff. The early ones in the early RS3 and TTRS are iron blocks, which make them great for doing big power sort of stuff. But the later one, which nerds will call a Dazza, I believe, are an aluminium block. So they're much lighter. They're much more favorable for swapping into other cars. You don't have a load of weight over the front axle like every Audi does. RSQ3s have the Dazza.
Yep.
And they are now selling. We watched one on the dealer auction site sell for $9,000.
That's ridiculous.
The engine alone on eBay is like $5,500 to $6,000. So those cars, RSQ3s, are done.
Because
your days are numbered.
You're not good enough to stick around.
No, you're good for your engine.
You're getting picked apart.
Yeah.
For bits.
No,
and
no.
That's your life.
Now. You know what? Someone out there, go stick a couple early RSQ3s away, because there's going to be four of them left at some point.
Yeah, they're just going to get rinsed for their engine. I don't know I don't know if there is an issue with them or something, or if it's just because it's not very desirable because it's RSQ3.
They're just cheap. They're so cheap. Yeah.
But that, honestly, when I saw it was one of the first times. Normally, I don't pay that much attention, like modified car in traffic, like, unless it's really nice. But this was one of the first times in ages I saw a car. I followed it. I kept trying to get alongside.
It's the person trying to find Ben's house.
Also because I have no music, it was nice to listen to something. But that car, honestly, it was really, really nice. And just nice to see a car really nicely modified and not over the top. So if your name is Jack or J9 or something like that, fair play. That's a really nice car.
Benjamin, putting it on you.
And also, I'm looking at new dailies.
Oh, here we go.
Because
always,
I think it's time.
I think the audience are actually quite interested in your daily. I think they're invested. There's no sarcasm there. I actually believe it.
Could be a little video, couldn't it?
Do you know what? I'd quite like that. Even the second channel video.
I think it would be, yes.
But either way.
It probably should be. Yeah. But
I think it's good.
Yeah, I think.
What is it? What are you thinking?
I'm fancying.
What's on the bone top right now?
I quite like a Volvo.
Okay.
And I know that you think that's boring and not fun.
I don't. I like them.
I want a V60. Pull it up.
I like a V60.
Pull up. Sausages. The whole road.
V60 is a Focus, essentially. Is that?
I don't know. This is the second. Can you get a Mark II V? Sorry. It's a Mark I V60.
Give me a year.
2014 would be a facelift.
That's not what I was thinking.
No, not the current one. I can't afford that.
Are you talking?
I think that is the one that is based on a Focus. If I'm.
I think that was
correct.
The V60. S40 and the V50 before that 2009 era.
Sorry.
Let's go. 20.
So you talking about this?
That's like that. Yeah, a little R design one of those.
So I wasn't. That was not what I was expecting. So that is a 2014 to 2015 Volvo V60. They will, you know what? There will no doubt be creamers out there that own this generation of V60. Please drop your.
I want
thoughts.
A D3.
Okay, when Volvo started doing this weird thing where the numbers didn't mean
D3. I believe an early one is a successor to the D5. So it's a 5-pot.
It's a 5-pot.
Yeah, but they're better in some ways. Apparently, D5 is very reliable, but can be expensive to be fixing. A lot of the parts quite a lot, whereas those I believe are
what else
similar.
Now here's my question: is the 5-pot because you actually because you're like, oh cool 5-pot, or is it for a deliberate reason of reliability or things?
From what I understand, and I will be honest with you, ChatGPT just listed me off the engines and what they each of them are good for, so it could be completely wrong. But it was D3 was for me a good balance of power and like
economy,
boring reliability. Because it's in my daily, but I think it's time.
Fair.
Because the X5, I keep wanting to sell it, but then I get it and I go, it's just nice. This morning driving, it was...
With the comfort seats, they are the guy.
The tyres, you know, they're great.
If a creamer's listing and they want to buy a third-hand TDC car... With all of the miles.
183.
But with brand new rear tyres.
And you only need... And you know, the 4x4 system isn't currently working.
Don't worry
and
about it.
Self-level needs doing, but these all sensors
don't
need
worry
fixing
about it.
I haven't done. And yeah, does it need an oil change?
Don't worry about it.
But that car is, I mean, again, it hasn't had that much work. And I know it's a lot of motorway miles, which is way less harsh on a car.
But we worked this out the other day, right?
That car, it
works.
It's not letting you down.
Between me and you, it's what, 50,000 miles?
Between me and you, Will.
Don't tell anybody else.
I bought it at 138K.
And it's now on.
So 45,000 miles.
So...
18 months. Shedfest last year, day before Shedfest.
May last year. So that is probably between the two of us, what? Don't count tyres and oil because any car has that.
You don't
that.
Need those.
You know?
Well, as I learned.
Ben doesn't count tyres.
Get rid of them. Yeah.
No, but in terms of consumables, I reckon that car is, what, $2,000 a push of maintenance that's needed? Possibly. Now, granted, it needs stuff now. I'll happily admit that. Yeah. But...
And it was also a car that was relatively... It wasn't like taking an absolute dog of an X5 and putting
car.
It had a load of bits already done to it. But
But still, that I mean, granted, I may end up on the hard shoulder tonight with it, but I think it's time for that guy
anything else on the shortlist?
What else have you got?
Give us a top three.
I want something.
You got a V60 in there. Is that Dream Daily? Not Dream.
I really like them. I've always liked them. My dad actually had one of those.
Is that where the comfort aspect, that they're comfortable?
My dad had a V60. He had one they first came out, an earlier one, pre-facelift one. I remember just liking it. Because it's actually quite a smart looking wagon.
Mm, I think they're good.
So
what else? Automatic or a manual?
The only thing I have read is that apparently the autos are, they are somewhat, not unreliable, but I think if you don't service them, they can be a little bit unhappy. So that does scare me.
So what else?
Oh, I'll tell you what.
It doesn't have to be daily. Just what's the one of the week?
Well, it's either minute or dailies.
Okay.
I've been looking at Golf GTDs as well.
Fair enough. No, not terrible.
Benji's just bought one. It's editor and videographer for Auto Alex.
Yeah. In Mark 7?
6.
That was a
But you were looking at a 6 or something?
I like a 7, but I mean, the monies.
Would you consider something interesting? Like, as in, like, it's something like a hot hatch, like a turbocharged hatch that you still get 30 mpg, but...
No. Okay. I care about comfort and reliability, because which again, it's not interesting to listeners.
I think but it is, because I think there will be lots of listeners who are in the exact same boat, who they've tried the going down the path of I'm gonna have a fun daily, and realizing quite quickly it gets old. It's nice to just get in a car that works. It's like when we asked about who leases cars, and don't know who that is. But there's loads of listeners that said, I have a fun weekend car and then I lease something boring. Because people got to get around. People don't want to deal with needing to get their rear tires done on a Tuesday at Retro Power.
Yeah, 315, 35, 20 is out.
I want something smaller because, you know, it goes through, you know, bushes and brakes and tires and stuff quicker.
A smaller car will definitely...
Frankly, I don't need a car that big. We don't carry that much camera gear. Also, I don't carry that many people.
The other cool thing, I know this more on the Mark 7s. I don't know as much about Mark 6s, but Mark 7s, you can get like base spec engines, like 2-litre diesels, but with really high spec stuff for commuting. Mm. Like my brother's got a Mark 7 Golf. I think he's put nearly 200K on in like 7 or 8 years. But it's got radar cruise on it. Got radar cruise, some nice seats, but it's a manual.
Mm.
But it's just meant for commuting. So he just gets on the motorway, sticks radar cruise on, and goes.
I don't mind having a manual, to be fair.
Motorway is the biggest sticking point. Since driving that Fiesta, a fair few miles in that Fiesta, actually, I thought if my commute was short, that is exactly what I'd have. Because the fuel needle just does not move.
Mm.
It's relatively fun to drive. Nothing costs a huge amount to fix. And there's no more car that you actually need. But as soon as you get on a motorway and you're doing 4,000 RPM, you can't overtake people unless you're going downhill. That's when stuff like that gets annoying.
That's kind of where I'm at with that E36. It was supposed to be a joke daily for a week in the summer.
Yeah.
It's now become my daily for the past 3 months. And around town, it's great.
Yeah.
It's got it looks like a race car,
yeah,
but it's got a 1.6 8-valve in it.
Yeah.
I fill it up once every 3 weeks,
yeah,
maybe. But then, yeah, when we drove up to Retro Power, I was like, I want to not be in this. I don't want to be here.
You know what you need? You need a CL500.
That's a great point.
I would like that, but I don't want to run it.
It's fine. I'm getting at least 20 mpg. And when I mean least, I mean least.
Now I have the S2000, I don't care about the cool factor in my daily. I want that to be purely functional, and I can have this.
I think a GTD is a great choice.
I actually think so too.
It's still incredibly boring to me, but it's at the upper... It's upper tier boring.
I would probably get a 2-litre diesel, but they look like Benji's one.
And you
look
get a DSG.
Look pretty smart. DSGs do scare me.
Why?
Because
as long as they're serviced, they're all
good. I know that they don't go wrong that often. When they go wrong, they go wrong. My mum's car actually had a DSG, and that went wrong quite badly. Luckily, it was under warranty, but it went wrong in a big amount of money way. So that scares me.
Now, here's something else for you, Ben.
Yeah.
If you go in golf, you go in something vague. You can do the thing that is have a daily that works and stick it on some springs and some cool wheels.
Could do.
You can have the thing where it still works as it should. You don't do anything else to it, but you make it look a bit cooler if that's something you want. If not, you just leave it completely bog standard. Or you do
interior. Is a GTI that much worse, though?
Oh, like I looked at Mark 5 GTIs.
Petrol is cheaper. But I don't know. Should it a GTI to a GTD, you get... A bit more car, maybe. I don't know about specs and stuff. But is it that much worse on fuel? I'm assuming maybe on a run, it probably is more diesel.
This is the TDC effect, because Ben pitched us GTD.
Yeah.
You've now gone, but what if GTI? And now that you've said GTI, Mark 5 GTI, I'm like, a Mark 5 R32 would be quite cool.
Yeah, what about like a 5-cylinder swapped out Golf R?
Well, you could get like a Passat R36. Those would be cool.
Yeah, or like an R8.
Yeah. And so
RS6.
And so it goes.
Yeah, I don't know. So maybe that will come soon, but I need to...
Coming to a second channel video sometime this year, next.
You know what, Ben? Wait until you see the Golf on its new wheels, and you'll go, yeah, I could do that.
So X5, somewhat for sale.
Hey, send him a message. If you're actually interested.
Yeah, don't send him a message saying, I'll give you £8. It will be cheap, but don't send him a message saying, I'll give you £8.
But not that cheap.
Four number?
In the twos. Let's say that. It's not going to be
£2 million.
Somewhere, we're going to put it on a silent bid where you slip a piece of paper into my Instagram DMs.
into your house, which is where they found it. You know, geolocation.
Please no.
That would go incredibly well around here. Someone wants to sell a car and you just have to put a bid in a box.
A sealed bid would be
great.
But
also, you open the box and there'd be a bid for £1, a bid for £8, and one bid for possibly £100.
Hey, look, you've got to be in it to win it, though.
Exactly, there you go.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's still a Range Rover Classic for me. I've been obsessing over them. I really, really, really want one. It's got to be Beluga Black. Yeah, I don't know.
Found out about that from the comments.
Yes, that it's...
Beluga is not because Beluga whales, because they are, in fact, famously white. It's Beluga Caviar.
Beluga Caviar, which is the most expensive caviar. Existed. Which makes very much sense for the Range Rover. Meanwhile, the 3.9 not starting on a cold day. But it is, yes.
But they're still spendy.
Well, this is the weird thing. You used to be able to get a Range Rover Classic for $4,000 or $5,000 in semi-decent condition. Now, like, the minimum working sort of Range Rover Classic is coming up for 10, which is too much money. $10,000 gets you an L405.
Yeah.
Like, that's a nice car.
You'd be in pain.
Exactly. Like, oh, yeah, of course. Pain, yeah. But you're equally
but no,
in pain.
Not much more pain.
With a Range Rover Classic. So, yeah, it's just too much money. 322? Your L322 is... completely converted me on the facelift ones. I now would only ever have a facelift one, but
agreed.
But I've seen it through you. It's kind of the thing Ben has, where when the channel has one, the feeling of special is robbed.
I've had it, yeah.
So now, because you've had it and I've driven it a few times, I'm like, I have one of those.
Been there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I used to have one of them. No,
no, you didn't. So yeah, the All Road is still there as well if a cool spec one comes up, but I want something cheap for now just to run around. So I don't know. I may turn up in something next week. Who knows? I don't even know.
You probably will.
No one knows.
Brackets, I probably won't buy anything and I'll suffer the winter in the E36.
No, that won't happen.
No.
Before Christmas, a car enters.
Yeah, that's good.
One car enters and one of Ben's cars will leave.
Ooh.
Maybe.
That's just a prediction I'd like to make.
Thank you very much for listening to this very bickery episode of Cars Roll Over the Ground Me. It's the week away at Retro Power. It gave us time to build.
Power that one up.
We'll be back to normal soon. Thank you very much for listening. As always, we'll be back next week. Cars rule everything around me.
I am
money.